Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm going to allow the department the meeting must continue because they are having that for the last thing. We are accepting the fact that the minister in the perfect meeting, she can't make an apology to all of us. She will talk to you. If you come and say, I have accepted the apology, you will understand. But the view that says that it shouldn't be a problem for the government, the teachers, the DTGs are here, the meeting is, I don't think it's the correct one. The correct one is the one that the minister and the deputy minister should be here. Of course, they have put out a commitment that the one they have said that if they have asked to you, you will inform the committee and the committee will accept that view. You will apply your mind in whether we can continue or not, and we believe that we can continue, then we will hold the meeting. So I just want to have that view that the affection by the teaching to me is one of the people who can behave in that manner. For as long as they are here, we are fine.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. Chair, I hear what Honourable Professor Pelly, but the bottom line is that there is an indication that the minister is here, and if there is any question that we want to ask, the minister must be sure to answer them. So, I received the apologies from the minister, and I was told the deputy minister's apology was received by the secretary of the committee. So that's why the DG had to emphasize on the deputy minister pension. And because of the arrangement of the department that Deputy Minister Makhoba is responsible for water, would not be part of this meeting. On Friday, we expect Deputy Minister Makhoba to be here. So I thought we are accepting the apology with that understanding that Deputy Minister Makhoba would not be expected to be in this meeting. Because his responsibility is on water and sanitation, which will come up. Honourable Clark.
Just to follow up on apologies. What is the reason for her apology, the Deputy Minister? I understand the minister, she's in the meeting in Pretoria, which I heard very well. What is the reason for her apology? Thank you.
The DG indicated that the Deputy Minister has got the conference with the construction organization, Women in Construction, in Mpumalanga. Women in Construction.
Okay.
Yes, in Mpumalanga. But as I said, that we would have to discuss with the ministers and teachers because we should by now know that Tuesday would be the committee would be sitting. Any appointment that can be avoided should be avoided. I think we will communicate with the minister. But we couldn't do that before the parliament finalized the committee meeting for the committee, because other committees will be meeting on Wednesday, ours were meeting on Tuesday and Friday. So, and in the last meeting, if honorable members remember, we said that Friday mainly we are going to use to engage with our stakeholders. But this week we are putting Friday for the same report, the first quarter report. But in the next Friday that we have, we are going to engage our stakeholders. And departmental letters will be given on every Tuesday. So it will be very helpful for the department to note for the political aid to take that into consideration, that everything that has to deal with the party will be done on Tuesday. Now it will be both water and sanitation and administration. Because Friday will be more extended meeting engaging with the stakeholders. Honorable member.
Good morning, Chair Colleague. I'd just like to say to the record of the DA's dissatisfaction that the Deputy Minister felt it fit to prioritize the attendance of a conference for a sector of South Africans in one province of South Africa over the scrutinization of the first term expenditure report of the department of which she is Deputy Minister. Thank you.
So thank you, Honourable Member. I thought we have clarified the matter. We have to discuss apologies for such a long time. I've indicated that we have not, as Parliament, engaged the department and tell them that which day we meet them here. Because Parliament has got a lot of committees. Until we have to wait for until the House chairman give us our date in for us to have our meeting. So, and the department
human settlement, water and sanitation, including Friday, but the Friday is used to interact with the stakeholders. So mainly we are going to have our meeting on Tuesday, which we need political or executing authorities and the DGs. So can I request members that we proceed with that understanding? And from time to time, there will be apologies. And as Mr. Mashua has indicated, Minister, if it's not coming to the meeting, would actually communicate with myself before and look at the agenda and see whether the meeting should proceed without the minister or not. And we have taken the decision to proceed with the meeting because the person who must account for the expenditure report is here, which is the DG. Though even minister is supposed to account for it, more mainly the person who knows where the cell went to is the DG. Can we proceed with that note, Honorable Lewis? Because from time to time there will be apologies and we will accept them or reject them. That should be the understanding.
Yes, thank you, Jay.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you very much for the clarity. And also thank you to Honorable Mashar for our simply extending the commitment that DG and DDG will be here all the time, but the executive authority is accountable. I also want to explain a little bit that the meeting that Deputy Minister Chate is attending was planned more than 2 months ago, with the chaplaincy who passed away. The chaplaincy of Sawik was buried a fortnight ago in Island in Port Elizabeth, North Chad. So it became logistically difficult to change the date. We understand the clarity and we understand the concern. Chair, without wasting much of your time, we've structured our presentation in such a way that it's easy for one of the members of the portfolio committee to follow. You will recall when we presented the APP, we covered the programs, program 1, program 2, program 3, and program 4. Now, the key question is to explain how those programs have performed. We will be a little bit unconventional in presenting it today. We start with the CFO. The CFO is going to lead us and take us through the programs, and she's going to take us through the performance of the programs, the performance of the grant, the performance, and then she will continue and explain the performance of the entities and the performance of the provinces, performance of the municipalities, because 95% or more of our budget goes to provincial departments, metropolitan municipalities, and human settlements entities. Without wasting your time, we are presenting to you the first quarter results, that is April up until June. That's the period that is under review currently, and I'm not going to waste your time. I'm going to ask the CFO to lead us.
Thank you very much, DG, Honorable Chair, Honorable Member, and everyone present in the room. Chair, as DG has announced, I'll just give a brief background of what the human settlement estimate of national expenditure says and part of the program explanation. We are running the budget structure in line with the approved estimate of national expenditure
which consists of four programs. I'm quite aware that the next week's presentation will expect us to explain in detail of exactly what is happening within the program. But having given the portfolio committee the presentation yesterday, we are giving you a detail just for the portfolio committee members to have a little understanding. We'll give more details in our workshop next week. So the four programs that we have consist of administration, which funds basically all the administrative and management and support services to the department. The second one is where the mandate of the department is, which is program two, which is management of the development of the policies in compliance with the human settlement sector delivery, the code, the Housing Act, and any other relevant frameworks that govern the development of human settlements. Within the very same program, we have the strategy that looks at planning services within the department. Program three, again, picks up the main mandate of the department, wherein we do the implementation of human settlement development programs and projects, evaluate and assess the performance by provinces, metros, including our entities. We also manage the capacity in terms of human settlement development and provide oversight to any other public entity that is reporting to the department, your ADH, NHS, and the rest. The last one is the housing development finance, wherein you have your financial administration that looks at mainly the grant, and its mandate is providing, or rather improving the access to housing finance, particularly for the benefit of the partnership that we want to have outside in the private sector and within the sector itself, including the National Treasury as the funder to all. The next slide, Chairperson, talks to the overview of the department's budget, wherein we indicate to the House how we even got to have the budget that we have. We are guided by National Treasury guidelines, and in those guidelines we have an understanding of how to lobby for the budget from the National Treasury. In most of the instances, we are often given an indicative allocation from National Treasury in terms of our three-year period, which is your medium-term expenditure framework. Now, what I want to indicate here is the fact that from the previous years, we've been experiencing some economic downfall, which led us to have, in fact, all the departments having had their budget cuts. And for the human settlements, we've had a 2.2 billion cut that was experienced from the previous MTF allocation, which led us to have 105.7 billion in this financial year. Which, if you think about it, is over the 3-year term. However, in 1920, we are reporting, and we shall keep on reporting, on the 3.9 billion until or unless the adjustment budget says otherwise, in terms of increasing or in terms of decreasing the 83.9. If it doesn't, we will, up until the end of March next year, report on the 83.9 billion. Now, the 83.9 billion is divided into a number of operations, including the capital grant that takes a budget of 93.9 for all the human security development grants. And broken down into HSDG, USDG, and other later small grants that along the lines we'll see. Then we have 1.2 human settlement entities, the likes of your NHSC, HDA, Social Housing Regulator Authority, etc. If we look at the total budget of 33.9 billion, we can only manage it and support it through the operational budget of 2.6 billion. Now, if you look at this and the operation, it does suggest that the bigger mandate falls within the 32 billion, which goes to entities as well as which settles your human settlement provinces as well as the metros. So we're basically supporting the capital grant across the department. Then the 14.9 billion, which is a small amount, it goes to any other transfer that we have obligations with. And as I indicated, the 843 funds the compensation of employees, the goods and services that relate to that, as well as the capital assets that run the department in terms of equipment and the rest. Now, I did indicate that one, I will skip that because I did indicate that the 2.2 billion grant, that was rather the reduction, that is 2.2, is taken from a number of grants, which is the UNDG, HSDG, and part of the small grants that we cut. However, we must indicate that in the process, and which we had agreed with National Treasury, the fact that we have a new program, that is minor amount that was allocated to us, amounting to 814 over the NSF period, which talks to your INEP, as well as the UNDG that has been cut as well, but allocated to measures. Now the rest gives you the additional amount that we've received from for KZN specific, particularly for the disaster recovery that has been experienced in that. So I will skip some of the slides just to catch up with the time because they explain themselves. Now if I can be allowed to go to the allocation by program, which would tell you to say
Thank you very much. And apologies for that. Let me run the slide very slow. The slide in front of you explains how we have broken down the budget of the department. Elawana did indicate that we are supporting the 32.9 billion by 843 billion, which pays for salaries at the value of 105 billion, supported by the goods and services in terms of everything that we paid in, your equipment, your furniture, your travel costs, including the laptop, as well as the payment of all the machines that we are running in the department to the value of 3 million. If you look at the rest of the classification downward in terms of your economic classification, it gives you exactly the amount that is transferable to all the entities that are supporting the development of human settlements across the sector. The likes of the provinces which receive the human settlement development grant, the issue of the provincial emergency grant that talks again to the human municipal emergency housing grant, differentiating it from a municipal perspective and provincial point of view. Then you have the title deed restoration grant, the bigger one that goes to Metro, with your urban settlement development grant. The entities that support as well as deliver the high cost are the likes of your social housing and unit authority, which receives budget of 65 in the form of an operational budget. The institutional investment, which I did indicate earlier on, that is supporting investment in terms of the development of your social housing institutions, the capital grant that funds particularly the housing or the social housing. Then we have a small entity that is called Community Skin on the Services that's receiving 32.8. Your National Housing Finance Corporation currently and known as the Housing Development Bank or Human Settlement Development Bank that is receiving 95, particularly for the financing individual subsidy program and an operational budget supporting the capital budget. Then we have the investment, that is capitalization of the bank itself, to the value of 50 million, and HDA receiving 229. The last one is the one that I indicated that we have MOUs in terms of the desert schemes that are run by the department, MOUs in line with the UN Habitat, which is alliance, as well as the memorandum of understanding that we have with many cities in terms of funding the check. I did indicate that this is a straightforward, it's just a breakdown of the human settlement development grant in terms of which funds go where. If you look at the total allocation of the HSDG, which is 18.7 capital grant going to municipalities, within that budget we are saying normal projects. The reason why we say normal projects, the others are being fenced and specified for the people that are intended for. So we had to break down the 18.7 for each to fund 14.8 to the normal project. Any other project, except the ones that we felt that we should scale them up or catalyze it or receive the highest attention one could say, specifically because of the issues as well as the challenges that we have. So your mining towns, we have a recent amount of 900 million, as well as the 2.7 that goes to the new partnership grant that we have formed in terms of the upgrading of the settlement program that we intend to flag it up as well as a priority project. Then we have disaster, which forms part of the 600 million and 227 for this particular year to KZN. And the outer years is the indicative allocation. However, this year we will be putting on the 18.7 million. Chair, I'm going to skip again this slide because it talks to the same and then get into the expenditure by program. Wherein I did indicate that, which is where the crux of the issue was, We have projected to spend 5.3 billion in this first quarter. Now the fourth column talks to the expenditure of 5.1 billion. Most of this money was transferred to the province and the metro for the schools. Now we have spent 96% of the projected amount of 5.3 billion. Our education is trying to say that ordinarily we would want to get it from 25% of the mission quarter. But we are trying to be cautious in as far as transferring more money to provinces that they did not spend, particularly in the first quarter. And hence the reduction of the 25% to 15% in terms of our projection. However, the money will increase and improve as we move towards the other quarter. I mean, history has taught us to say, if we dump more money, it doesn't help the quality of our work, because we get questions against the 25% as well from the national. Now, having indicated the economic classification earlier on, this is in terms of the expenditure to that effect. We have transferred 4.2 billion to provinces, which is 22%. Then the emergency grants, 154 and 137 respectively, to your provinces and the municipalities, which takes a percentage of 56 and 92% respectively. Similarly, with the title administration grant, budget of 557, we have transferred 8.1. Now our entities, given SRA and operation with standards, they have to start the year with some budget. We have not transferred the 21 and we have not even transferred the CCG, which is your restructuring capital grant. Now that money is payable and transferable within some months in terms of the processes that we follow. So the expectation is that between SRA, between community embassy, between ADA, as well as the NHSC, they have requested this money based on the project pipeline that they have, in place, and in order for us to be able to release the funding today. We don't just release it, we release it based on the plan that has been approved. However, we do it in terms of the cash flow as well as the payment schedule. We've already transferred the scholarship that we are running program, 564. Our commitment, which stands at the beginning of the year, the unit heritage, we've already transferred 2.3. And in terms of the house loans pay issues of your pensions, issues of your leave gratuities for all those people who may be residing in there. So we spent 291 to that effect. You know, there's a minus of 281. More often than not, we only put a small amount on it because it depends on how many people are going to resign in that particular financial year and payable. The 50 million which goes to NHLC is the capitalization of the bank itself. So that money funds the balance sheet of the NHLC itself. So the entire transfer that we have made in this period stands at 50 million. I'm skipping this one. And I think that
at this stage, Chair, we're going to ask the DG to take us through governance and administration, and she'll hand over to DG Chain. After that, we'll take us through the inductive and affirmation.
Thank you, Chief. Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. As part of the performance of the department, we have also to attend to the compliance issues and the governance issues as we carry on our responsibilities. For the first quarter under compliance, we had planned for the 100% compliance in terms of the statutory prescripts. This also includes the dealing of our annual performance plan, the financial. and we achieved 90% compliance in terms of the statutory tabling. And part of that compliance, there is also an emphasis of the department having to make payments to all invoices within the 30-day period. I must report here that as a department, we received 970 invoices for the first quarter, and only one invoice was paid after 30 days, and that meant that our compliance was only 99.9%. In terms of the implementation of the annual human resources plan, we are aware that human resources is a heavily legislated area, and we are expected as a department as well to comply with the legislation that operating in this area. We were also planned to comply 71% in terms of the governance and compliance in terms of our annual performance plan, and we achieved 71%. And the list from 2.11, those are the areas that form part of the 71% that we achieved in terms of the annual human resources plan. With your permission, again, Chairperson, I'm not going to read all of them, but I can just include some of the compliance matters that we need to comply with. For example, 2.11, that we have to submit annual training report and workplace skills plan to public service education and training, and that needs to be done by the 8th of April. This we have complied with. And 2.15, just as an example as well, we have to submit our annual compliance report on the submission of our performance agreement. This is part of the compliance that we have to do by the department in line with the DSA prescripts by the department. In terms of this slide, Chairperson, it also continues to talk to the 71% in terms of the compliance, the progress in the annual human resource plan. I will then move to the area that constitutes the 29% that we did not achieve. What we have cited there are the areas that we were not able to comply with. And when we look at the governance and administration, also our legal matters, legal services matters, they form part of administration component. And then we are reporting the following progress in terms of the legislation changes within the department. In the last financial year, the bill on the property petitioner's bill was adopted by both houses of parliament. And what we are expecting now is that the bill will be the bill now is with the president for assent. And in terms of the House Consumer Protection Bill, that is bullet number 3, we are now at a stage where we will be doing we'll be working on the government gazetting for the Consumer Protection Bill. For public comment. This is a bill that is assisting one of our entities, which is HBRC, in compliance with the compliance in terms of the building standards. This bill, we will be gazetting it for public comment. And I must also indicate that this was also presented in cabinet about a week ago.
agreement as well as the CISOs that we review some of the clauses in the Act. We also are in the process of reviewing the Housing Code. The Housing Code is basically what would be termed the Bible of programs and in the manner in which provinces together with the entities implement the programs, because that's the framework, so it allows us to ensure and monitor that funding is utilized within that framework. Chair members, we may just also indicate that the department has completed the draft MTSS for the 2019-2024, which will come into force on the 1st of April 2020. And we have submitted all of those requirements to the Presidency and GPME. And once that is approved, it will be ready for the draft. Chair, just to indicate that one of the aspects which we do monitor at the department is that there is a mandatory directive issued by the minister which says that of the HSPG budget, a minimum of 30% must be allocated to women, and as well as to youth, there's an additional minimum, and this is the minimum that we speak about, of 10%. So you'll see that in relation to women, as reported by the provinces, the percentage at the moment stands at 33%, and then in relation to youth women, it stands at 12.6%. Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, as a department, we also, as part of our responsibilities, undertake an intensive intergovernmental and international relations program. Chair, in relation to the intergovernmental relations, we have what is called a joint coordinating committee on land, made up of ourselves, public works and infrastructure, public enterprises, COCTA, as well as public transport and churches. But in essence, in relation to both provincial and national land, the National Department of Human Settlements gets first right of refusal on all land prior to a department wanting to dispose of it. And as a department, we then, together with the HDA, undertake a process of evaluation and where the land is suitable and required by either the province or municipality, it then gets transferred to that municipality or province with the assistance of the HDA. We also, together with the Department of COCTA, as well as the Presidency, we've got what is called the IMC of Basic Services, and that basically manages the Back to Basics program in relation to the prioritized districts and mining now, and Mr. Lishabani will raise that. Chair, just in relation to issues, the department also, as it when required, provides the parliamentary committee with support in relation to its oversight visit, and we didn't convene any of those as Parliament was in recess during the period. Chair, just to indicate that, and this is on slide 28, as the department, we also support initiatives, particularly in relation to international cooperation, and these are either through the United Nations Habitat, and we also form part of the Cities Alliance grouping, particularly in relation to our international and regional responsibilities. We do support the African Union in relation to sharing of expertise, as well as to facilitate knowledge exchange and technical assistance. One of the key issues that we are undertaking at the moment, and that's in the first part, the third bullet there, where we are together with the Cities Alliance providing some support and knowledge exchange with Liberia as it is in the process of undergoing a transition. Chair, just to indicate, as I've indicated in the previous slide, we detail what are some of those matters we deal with, particularly in relation to the African Union, as well as the participation in the UN Habitat Assembly. And in relation to this, we must just indicate that during the period of the review, there was a delegation that did deliver the national statement, and we participated in the partnership and pledging session. Particularly on the issue around the question of safe cities and human settlements. Chair, then we just also indicate that what we undertook in relation to a collaboration with the Deputy Minister of Corporate and Governance and Traditional Affairs with the Department of the Deputy Minister of Public Works in Ghana, together with the Gauteng Commission, the President of Women in Construction. Thanks, Chair, and then I'll just ask Mr. Shabani to take us to the PPLU.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to the House. The balance of the presentation deals with the delivery aspect of our business. Perhaps it's important to start out to point out that earlier when we were presenting the APP, the department confirmed that we are working to revitalize distressed mining communities. In essence, there are 23 local municipalities with a high concentration of mining operations, and they are distributed largely in Limpopo, Gauteng, Western Way, and Northwest, Mpumalanga, Free State, and Northern Cape. In essence, in those spaces, the main intervention to address the distress that is caused by mining operations. Members should be aware that there's an influx of persons into the immediate surroundings around the mine, and therefore the sudden and rapid growth of informal settlements and the need for basic services is enormous. So our intervention in those municipal spaces firstly relates to working with those municipalities and provinces to strengthen and improve forward planning capability. And that demands that you extend the infrastructure, parts of infrastructure that are available in those spaces, but also to coordinate and make sure that there's alignment between what provinces do and what municipalities do together with mining companies in those spaces. From our point of view as a department, we also have to, on an ongoing basis, identify those challenges that often arise in those spaces and then offer mitigating interventions, primarily around the upgrading of informal settlements in and around those areas. The next area of operation relates to the upgrading of informal settlements. Members will be aware that as things stand today, there are over 2.1 million households in South Africa that reside in informal settlements. Our job in the department first is to assess those informal settlements. We've done 49 this quarter, and they are listed there in respect of the 4 municipalities in Mpumalanga. Further to that, we've also prepared upgrading plans to support municipalities so that they can implement quicker. As things stand in the Northwest, in Gauteng, in this past quarter, we prepared, working with the municipalities and the provinces, development plans for those informal settlements that we serve. Look at the problem. tells the head the subsidy that gives a deposit to those members in the community who can who fall above the subsidy threshold. Anyone who earns about 3,500 can be assisted with this financing individual. This assisted to buy a house through accessing finance from the financial institutions. 431 beneficiaries have been approved in this past quarter. Overall, Chair, what we are confirming, and this is this slide that summarizes the totality of the department, as a department overall, we've achieved 43% of the targets. 43 are work in progress, they are partially achieved. Only 14% of the target set has not been achieved. Chair, I said I'll come back to the grant that have been the performance. I'll talk to four of the provisional grants. Let me start with the Human Settlement Development Grant. Chair, as of the 31st of June, SCFO earlier indicated what was voted for by this House, 18 billion rand of the Human Settlement Development Grant. This grant gets appropriated to the provinces. You will see we listed each of the provinces how much was voted, totaling 18 billion rand. In the quarter that just passed, we have transferred to the provinces in line with the payment schedule and the payments rather the project pipeline, 4.2 billion rand. That's the yellow block. Of that, the provinces have spent 3.8 billion rand, which amounts to about 90% of what we are raising. I hope members of the chair can follow this particular plan. We thought it important to slide 49. Of it. assets, it's a comfortable mess. But you have to drill deep into each province then to see. You will see we highlighted the red under performance, and the green is pretty much those that are doing well. You will see St. Faith has overachieved. On the upper end, this state, not so well. Gauteng, not so well. Further to that, Northern Cape, not so well. Western Cape, not so well because it's under 20%. So that's how we plan to then, how the money gets spent, that's how we deliver. And our intervention is then to attend to those provinces where the output is not matching with the expenditure. And then that's where the intervention happens. Chair, I'll move to the urban settlement development grant quickly. This is a grant again that is transferred to the metropolitan municipalities. Chair, that is now moving to slide 54, 55 grant, sorry. As I said, this grant is available to the 8 metros. What was voted for by the House is 11.3 billion rand, broken down per metropolitan municipality as indicated. Some metros last year had applied for rollovers, only at Kuruleni and City of Swahili were approved. We were managing overall grants of 11.385 billion. All of which was transferred to the metros. You will see, Chairperson, that what was spent in June amounted to 3.6 billion collectively by the metros. That is up to the just the month of June, which is the last month of the financial year. Now that spike is very important to keep in mind because there's a lag in execution over the year, and then invoices only come when the projects are completed by the end of the financial year. All the metros put together, the 11.3 billion spent 10.6 billion, which amounts to 93% of the whole budget. The advantage that the metros have is that they use an accrual accounting system in that they are able to then run a few months into the new financial year before they close the books. That 6% then is accounted for as they close the books now. Chairperson, what you want to also look at is that the urban settlement development plan is not for housing. It is supporting and supplementing the capital budget of metros in respect of these functional areas or outputs listed in this slide 56. Metros are allowed to acquire land, they are allowed to implement certain housing and human settlement programs, build roads and stormwater infrastructure, transport, water sanitation, electricity, wastewater, waste management, socio-economic amenities, as well as assembly capacity. 3% is allowed for that. Chairperson, of all of these grants, it then ends up to the 11.3 billion rand that I give you. And you can see per municipality how then they have distributed the grant. What we've done here, we've aggregated all of the metrics to indicate how much went to transport, for example, how much went to electricity, and so on and so on. Chairperson, the details in respect of how then the grant was spent, you'll see we provide the details in the subsequent slide, partial development, building environment, roads, stormwater, how much the output put together in the metros. Chairperson, the balance of the slide, that is A59, list those services, those outputs that were realized by the metros. And again, shared indicate, because the emphasis is to making settlement functional, more integrated and more sustainable, we can't overlook the socio-economic amenities that are required. And that's what we listed there. The last grant, the second last grant shared is the this, but in this year, 547 million was voted for. Per province distributed accordingly in response to the best known network in the provinces. In this quarter, we transferred 81 million. The provinces have spent 34 million, amounting to 42% of what was available. You can then again see the correlation between the expenditure on the one hand and whether the output is indicated. The next slide here confirms the type B. You remember I just pointed out the numbers of type B delivered. You have to read this with the expenditure. Only 535 type B, 394 were delivered. I must make the point here, where you see no portfolio of evidence, we've gotten more stricter to say provinces can't just report the numbers. We need to see the evidence. This type B was actually registered. So I have to have that. That's what we have. Chair, the last grant is the pilot linked individual subsidy program. Members should be aware this is the Help Me Buy a House subsidy. It's implemented through the NHFC as the national implementing agent in line with the policy that was revised last year. It's important members to note that the MINMEC approved that the subsidy be available to those persons earning between 3,500 and 2,000 rand. And that's why typically the gap high. And therefore, people can then apply directly to the NHFC to access the subsidy. So far, 52 million have been available to the NHFC, 5 million of them to support the operations. Slide 74 just shows share the performance overall of this instrument in the provinces, the approvals that they've given, but also the funds that needed to be dispersed against the plan. Chair, this is not doing well. We are working with the NHFC and the provinces to improve performance in that. Chairperson, those are the figures on slide 75 that just break down how many applications were received by the NHFC, how many were processed, how many were captured in the subsidy database, so that we don't have repeat allocations, and then let us be given just the process breakup, but also eventually how many were dispersed. You can see, Chairperson, that in this regard, only 3 were dispersed. Lastly, Chair, and that's my last slide, the presentation accounts for both the financial performance of the department in quarter one, as well as the attendant department. I'll hand over back to the director general.
Thank you, Chair. That takes care of the first quarter results. But we want to emphasize perhaps the one of the members of the committee is to watch the performance of our case. You would have noticed that there's a 49% expenditure there. We have seen that before we put in the one those figures being 2,000 underperformance in the first quarter, 24%. It's been the story even in the last financial year. So we need to watch that. That's one area that is making us a little bit uncomfortable. You will notice that we're not seeing our testimony yet, but you will have noticed that in the first quarter, Northwest is not doing that. In fact, they are the serious, they are target. And we don't want to blow our own trumpet because the department is dealing in that thing. And the department is very helpful in the Northwest. In the Northwest, in the pool, you will see that the figures have gone up. Western Cape as well, we know that the water starts very slow. You will see the Western Cape figures as well are not looking good in the first quarter. There's nothing to worry about the Western Cape because I think there is nothing to recover. There is a good pipeline of projects. But when you are dealing Western Cape and Northwest are not performing, we get worried. It will improve all our staff. If there is a bullet in our staff, and Eastern Cape, you will see the figures there. Eastern Cape and Cape, they have been very good for the last 3 years. You will see the figures. In fact, Cape and Air has been getting some good planning with a half of the budget of capacity issues they get sorted out, because we take a 5-year approach to deliver. And if you don't perform in years, it affects the 5 years, the 8 years of performance figures. We have this will come out on Friday, with the university, with both municipality and provincial emergency grant. I'm sure you've noticed that there are quite a number of emergencies in the area of water and sanitation. So what we want to do is make sure that the programs talk to each other, as well as if there are emergencies in water, can we tell the community emergency grant? Or should we create a water and sanitation emergency grant? That's the discussion that we're having with the National Treasurer. We met with them last week. We also talked to the Treasurer about the general on that. If you create an emergency grant, then it takes more than 2 months to approve it, it defeats the purpose. So we will have to find a better way of administering this emergency grant. So if it's an emergency, it has to be done immediately. I think there's a lot of bureaucracy in the process, because we have to inform them, and we have to inform the cocktails, the drug operation, and the can. We respond to that emergency. We've already lost more than one in our general account. Treasury is what has assured us that they will look at the approval process, because the approval process is still a little bit long. Chair, at the end of the day, we have one minister and administering two budgets, and those two budgets combined, they give us 60 billion. And the two programs should be supporting each other. So I think that's the model that we want to invest in. If you read the proclamation, it says both human veterans and worker education must find an operating model that will make it possible for the two departments to work as one. And that's the area where we try to spend more time, both the official and the department working every month we meet to discuss the business of the two departments. And I think we can complement each other's efforts, which is one of the reasons why the minister is taking the position to ask me to act in the moment so that we can get both departments to work in unison. So Chair, that's the first part of that. We contracted to deliver over 25,000 housing opportunities. We only delivered 23,000. We ran short of about 2,000 housing opportunities. It's not looking bad in the first quarter, but the intention is to meet or exceed the target. Because if you don't meet the target in the first quarter, then you have a cumulative under expenditure in the second quarter. So we want to push and make sure that we meet or exceed the target, especially in the second quarter. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dick.